Starting in Matthew 4, verse 4, the word-filled life, I like to remind myself as I start through the Word of God afresh, why I read the Bible. I know Jesus said to read it, but why? Okay? And I just want to give you a few reasons and then challenge you and let you think about what you're going to do in this new year. Number one, I read the Bible because the word-filled life is the way that we get our messages from God. Now, I don't know about you, but I love up-to-date news, especially if we're going to fly. You want to know if the plane's leaving, or if you're going somewhere, you want to check the weather, or if someone you know is out of state, you want to check. There's nothing like what we have at our fingertips being online, actually seeing the California fires as they burn, actually seeing things as they happen. Well, that's what it says, Matthew 4, verse 4. Why go through life without freshness? Every time we prayerfully open God's Word, it's like going online and downloading a fresh, new, personal message. But the message is from God Himself. That's what's unbelievable. When I open this book and prayerfully engage my heart in reading, and when I read, I'm listening to God. Remember, prayer is me talking and reading is me listening to Him. Every time I open this prayerfully, I am downloading a message to my soul. Not from a mortgage company. Not from, you know, all the bizarre, weird, dumb, and awful things that come through email. But you and I are downloading a message directly from God. And it is fresh, and it is new, and it is up to date, and it is supernaturally changing our lives from the inside out. Just think about this with me. How encouraging it is to hear from God. Do you hear from Him regularly? As often as we download a message from Him, we just open our heart prayerfully before His Word, and like a wireless device, our soul will start getting downloads from heaven. Now, I don't understand all this, but there's this little tiny thing this big that sticks into my laptop. And when I am sitting at staff meeting or at the board meeting or wherever I am inside this building, it's just, I mean, my computer's making noises. It's getting messages and everything else. And, you know, that just shocks and amazes. And I don't understand it, that that little protrusion connects me to everything. But you know what? That is nothing compared to what you and I can have wherever we are, whatever we're doing, and you don't have to have a protrusion. It's constant. All we have to do is open our heart to the Lord and allow His Word to fill our lives, to fill our minds. Whether it's something we're listening to, whether it's something we read in the morning, whether we're driving through the car and listening to a tape or a CD, we fill our lives so He can communicate by His Word to our lives. There's nothing as boring as an old email when you want a fresh new update from someone you love. So read the Word of God each day prayerfully, because it's like an online download. Jesus answered verse 4 and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Most of us will eat sometime today. Even those of you on the Atkins diet, you're going to eat something. Might not taste any good, you know what I mean, but you're going to eat something. Most of us eat every day. And the Lord says, just like you eat every day, you should be, verse 4, eating every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Why do we do that? Turn over to John chapter 6. Go to the right in your Bible. You're in Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. Go to the right to the fourth book, John chapter 6. The second reason that we need to have a word-filled life is it's the only way to get our battery charged. John 6:63 says this, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." Verse 63 ends with these very pointed words. "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." The concept there is that they are spirit, and thus they are life giving. They are life-producing. They are life-bringing into your lives. You know, I have a custom. The only way I can keep in touch with my family, with my out-of-state family, is that every Sunday night I call. And it's just, then we know they're there, and all of you probably that have relatives far and spread around have your times you call. Well, I call on Sunday nights. And sometimes if I don't have anyone in my car going home, I actually call from the car. And I remember a while back that I was leaving the parking lot, and I was so excited to talk to my dad. He's 89, and every time I see him, he always reminds me it might be my last time talking to him. And so I really enjoy every time. And it's just so sweet to have him ready to step into heaven at any time. So I'm there, and I'm sharing, and I was so excited. And first, he keeps his list because he tells me he's forgetful. And he has his little list. Whenever the phone rings, he just says, "Hi, John," and he starts into his list because he doesn't want to forget. He says, "I'll forget to tell you this." So he goes through it. And so I was listening to his list and commenting and rejoicing with him and answering his questions. And then he said, "Tell me what you're so excited about." And I said, "Dad." And all of a sudden it got real quiet. And I said, "Daddy, Daddy." And I looked, and I had run out of battery. And I thought, and you know, he didn't understand. You know, he told me for a half hour he was still talking at home. He thought that I asked him to say some more, and so he was off the list. I called him from home. His phone was busy for over a half an hour, and he said, "Didn't I already tell you that?" And I said, "No, Daddy, my battery ran out." He says, "Well, I didn't even know." He says, "I can't tell you again." You know, and he never told me all those good things. But the word-filled life is the way we get our battery charged. We go through life expending our strength, and the battle of just plain old life saps us. And so if we aren't careful, we can be going through life and it goes dead because we haven't recharged. How do we recharge? Well, Jesus said it right here. He says, "I want to let my word, if you'll stop in it, quicken you. I want to give you life. I want to give you power through my spirit." Why go through life with a dead spiritual battery? That's why if you are a user of devices, you have to have these plug-in places where you just by habit plug in the phone. You just by habit plug in this. And I dock my laptop. Every time I dock it, it recharges it so it's always charged up. Have you got a plan to dock your soul to recharge your battery? Because Jesus said in John 6:63, it's the Spirit. That's the only thing that will energize us and give us life. Our flesh profits us nothing. And what he means by that is when you operate in the power of the flesh, it comes to zero. Everything we do in self-strength, ministry for the Lord, in the strength of our flesh, amounts to nothing. The flesh, verse 63, profits nothing. But the words that I speak to you, this book, whether an old traditional 1,000-page Bible like I have, or countless tapes and CDs, or a cut-up read-through-the-Bible program, or an electronic edition, those words are spirit, he said. And look at verse 63. And they are life. And what do they do for us? Well, keep going to the right. Look at Romans 15. And I would encourage you, if you're new at this, to mark some of these because it'll remind you why you should read the Bible. You should read it because that's the way you get a message from God, Matthew 4:4. That's the way you get your life recharged, John 6:63. And chapter 15 and verse 4 of Romans, it's also the word-filled life is the way we get our hope. Our hope. We're living in an increasingly hopeless world. Many people are hopeless that they'll ever get their debts paid off. A lot of people are hopeless that they'll ever get their sins forgiven. They're hoping in the afterlife that something will happen or that someone will bail them out with, you know, whatever. But they don't even know that their sins are possible forgiven. And a lot of people are hopeless even that they'll have a job or a life or a partner or whatever. But what does the Scripture say? Romans 15:4. The word-filled life is the way we live in hope. It says in the 4th verse, 15th chapter, "For everything that was written in the past." Now, Paul wrote Romans in, you know, in the mid-50s, there weren't a lot of New Testament books at that time. Isn't that interesting? If we want to be precisely literal to show how important your whole Bible is, Paul said, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope." Why? Because God used such a bunch of losers in the past. People that failed. People that had bad families. People that had bad marriages. People that had bad work records. People that had bad moral records. People that had bad spiritual records. And God used them. Now, they all had a common denominator. They repented. They turned in faith to Him. Every time they failed, they came back. But they didn't have very good records. And what he's saying is, look back at what Paul's saying. He's writing to a group of people that were buffeted with the flesh and the world and the devil, and they needed a fresh new beginning, and that's what the Christian life is, a series of new beginnings. And he says, look at your scriptures, because these were written to teach you what to do and what not to do, what to avoid and what not to avoid, that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures...